The Hawaii Tourism Authority released statistics for the month of December recently, and the picture was not pretty. We saw a 75% decrease in visitors compared to the same month in 2019. Economist Carl Bonham is the executive director of the University of Hawaii Economic Research Organization, UHERO. He said he wasn't surprised by the numbers because they've been able to calculate their forecasts with the daily numbers published by HTA. He spoke with the Conversation's Jason Ubai this week to talk about this latest data.
For January, we already know that the number of visitors that arrived in the month of January was right about 19 to 20% of the number that arrived in January of 2019, which is pretty close to what we were assuming in our last forecast. It's a little bit better. So December, the end of the year, that when we reopened to safe travels, we made a set of assumptions, and October, November, December all came in stronger than those assumptions. And then when the surge happened on the mainland, right, when we saw a big increase in case counts on the mainland, which was really happening in December, really late November and December, we started lowering our expectations. And, we went from almost 7,500 visitors a day in December to about 5,200 a day in January, which you would normally see, but it was a little bit more than expected.
The Hawaii Tourism Authority, last week, when I spoke with them, they were optimistic that travelers from Japan and Korea and other international markets may start returning as early as the late second quarter or start of Q3. So what do you think of that forecast, and what is this going to be dependent on to reaching these numbers?
Yeah, so, we just got the announcement recently that South Korea was being included now in the Safe Travels Program. That's good news. And the potential for some additional growth out of Canada, I think in the near term, right, for the maybe next 4 months, I don't expect a lot of growth out of any of those markets. And, one of the issues is having to quarantine when you get home, right? And so there's a little bit of a limited market for people who can, who want to travel to Hawaii, and then when they get home have to quarantine for however many days it is, because it keeps them from going back into the office and so on. And then the thing that really matters for the second half of the year, our assumptions are for pretty rapid recovery in the second half of 2021. In our optimistic scenario, we have an assumption of getting back to 80% of 2019 levels. That's a very rapid recovery, but it all depends on the virus, and it depends on vaccinations. And, the rollout of vaccinations internationally has been even slower than it has been in the United States. And so I guess the news as of, right this moment on vaccinations is we're behind. And there's, a little bit of optimism with new vaccines getting ready to go in for approval in the U.S. and the possibility of ramping up production. But these are all unknowns, right? We don't know what the new variants are going to do. That could completely change that optimism, right? So 3 months from now, we could be in a situation where we haven't gotten the vaccines out fast enough internationally, in Japan, in Korea, in Canada, and we have new strains that are more contagious. So it's really it remains a very uncertain situation. One of the good pieces of news is that it does look like if we stayed on pace in Hawaii, we're doing okay, and we have the capacity to do even more vaccines. And so I think you're going to see some increase in local travel. You're going to see people who are vaccinated start to do inter-island trips, which of course will help these businesses that are operating at very low occupancies right now. So I wouldn't disagree with the idea that the second half of next year is going to be good. It's part of our assumptions as well, but there's a huge amount of uncertainty.
Now, with the state legislature convening, they're looking, last week I reported, $2 billion budget shortfall. So you're looking at a lot of cuts, and including the Hawaii Tourism Authority. What do you think of some of these cuts? Would that be prudent? What are your thoughts on any cuts to the government right now?
Well, so, we've written about this fairly, not extensively, but we've written several blog posts about different approaches and to trying to close the budget gap. And this is hard. There's nothing easy about filling what I think is, I don't think it's, we're talking 2 billion. I think we're talking more like 1.5 billion. My expectation is that the gap is going to continue to get smaller, that the forecasts of, so I don't usually do this. I don't usually talk about what tax revenue forecasts are since I'm a member of the Council on Revenues. But you know, the council's forecast since roughly March of last year when we first, March of last year when we really first started dealing with the pandemic have been too pessimistic. I think it was starting in March when our forecasts were too pessimistic, and we've been raising them ever since. And I think there's a pretty good chance that we're going to do that again in the next meeting. And the reason is I think the economy, I think we're going to find that tax collections in December, which we don't have that data yet, and January, with the impact of the limited opening of tourism that we've had, I think we're going to see those tax collections come in better than we expected. And so there's going to be some help there. There's also going to be additional federal help in the form of probably infrastructure projects. And we're also, all of these things have some impact on bolstering the economy and then generating more tax revenue. A higher minimum wage and the additional unemployment benefits, all of those things, federal unemployment benefits, they're all taxed, and people who are at lower levels of income and earnings will spend that money, right? They'll spend it on rent. They'll spend it on food. They'll spend it on necessities, and it'll end up in the economy and it'll generate tax revenue. And so I think it's going to get easier, but it's still challenging. And the goal is to cut as little as possible in the near term by borrowing, by moving money out of special funds. These are things that are being considered. I know that Representative Luke has introduced two bills that would move money out of special funds. In fact, I think one of the bills basically kills off all the special funds and takes the money and puts it in the general fund. And, there's a lot of moving money about that needs to happen. But the problem is if you basically, for every dollar you cut in state government spending right now, you're probably pulling down the overall economy by more than a dollar, maybe as much as a dollar and a half, or even $2. In other words, it's a drag on the economy, and that's, to the extent possible, you don't want to do that. And then the other thing is that you absolutely don't want to just, take each state agency and cut 10% of their budget, because it doesn't involve any decision making about what's priority and what's not. No one is really proposing that, but it's, there's a degree of that happening. There's a tendency to, you have to cut education because it's the biggest piece of the pie. And yet by cutting education, if you're simultaneously hurting student learning, then you have long-term impacts. Right? That's what you're trying to avoid. You're trying to avoid doing things that will make the economy worse and people's lives and worse for long periods of time. And that's not to say that education and the university and others don't need to figure out ways to do more with less and be more efficient and prioritize. They absolutely do, but that's true of all state agencies, right? And I haven't really heard all that much conversation about prioritizing and prioritizing across the entire state budget. So what are we doing right now, and what have we been doing for the last 5 or 10 years that we really don't, like Mayor Hanneman used to say, you need to focus on the need to have, not the nice to have, or something like that. I don't remember what his expression was. And, that's important, is, stopping you know, we need to stop doing things that aren't necessary and focus on the things that are necessary, like public health and education. And, you know, an example of cutting that this is fairly typical in the governor's budget, there's actually a discussion of the fact that in fiscal 22 and 23, they're cutting capital improvement project spending because they're worried about borrowing too much. They're worried about, you know, the bond rating, right? And I mean, I made this argument at the very first House Select Committee meeting, and I remember some eyebrows being raised. I argued this is not the time to worry about the bond rating. The time to worry about the bond rating is 3 or 4 years from now. And I, you know, that's kind of a bold statement because if your bond rating goes down, then your cost of borrowing goes up. But if you look at cost of borrowing today for states in real dollars, or inflation-adjusted dollars, the cost of borrowing is zero or negative. And yet infrastructure projects like fixing roads, fixing sewers, fixing schools, fixing Halaba Prison, or rebuilding the prison, doing the stadium, you know, moving roads to deal with climate change, all of these things have incredibly high rates of return, meaning that they end up, particularly think about road projects and moving a road so that it doesn't flood with climate change 10 years from now so that people can still get to work. The economic effects of doing that just dramatically outweigh the cost of doing it, even with borrowed money, even with borrowed money at higher interest rates. And it puts people to work all at the same time. And so there's a lot of different elements to it. I'm thankful that I'm not a legislator and I don't have to make those tough decisions. And hopefully I'm right that the forecast will continue to go up and revenues will be stronger than we anticipated.
That was economist Carl Bonham of UHERO talking with the Conversations, Jason Ubai, about Hawaii's economy and a forecast for the next few months.